Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Ian Tuttle of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today as usual. And Ian, the bombshell news out of Washington on Friday morning is that House Speaker John Boehner will resign October 30th, resign as Speaker and as a member of Congress. This comes under increasing unrest among the conservative base of the House Republican Conference. Some folks may remember Congressman Mark Meadows challenging the Speaker and his future before the recess. Apparently, over the ensuing days and weeks, it became clear it's going to be tough for Boehner to hang on to his job, and he sounds like he just doesn't want to go through a major intra-party fight right now. So once we get through what appears to be the appropriations process here, it looks like he's going to step aside. And most people seem to think Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy will get the job. Some think there's an outside chance Paul Ryan might do it if he's interested. So, Ian, what do you make of all this?
I think that the timing is more surprising than anything. And I know that several congressmen were alerted to the news by media reporting it. So obviously Boehner kept this news very close to the chest recently. So there are a couple things. One is, Greg, I'll be a rhino squish Beltway insider Georgetown cocktail party guy for a moment and say Boehner has possibly the most difficult job in the world in lassoing the cats that make up the Republican House caucus. And people do forget the job he did consolidating the Republican caucus in the early first 6-9 months of the Obama administration when it came to the stimulus, when it came to Obamacare, some of these things. So some credit where credit is due. He has an enormously difficult job, and it's difficult to think of many people doing him much better. All of that said, all right, now I'll be a real conservative. Boehner started fights that he never finished or didn't start fights that needed to be fought. He was obviously a very bad communicator within the House Republican caucus and then also to the general public. Part of the reality of that job is even if you're playing games behind hand, you have to make people feel like they're part of the system. They're having their voice heard. Boehner was not particularly good at that. There are congressmen who say that, you know, he wasn't very good at giving credit where it was due for certain House victories. All of these things disaffected and to a certain extent disenfranchised a significant portion of House members. All of these things are significant stains, significant blemishes on his record. It's an extraordinarily political sort of behind the scenes job. And while Boehner had some high moments, he had a whole gamut of low ones. And I think it left not just his fellow members frustrated, but of course, a lot of conservatives in the general public. So those things said, where does this lead? Well, that's sort of the question is, the odds are that Kevin McCarthy's going to take over. And so if you're a conservative who wants a sort of firebrand fighter, you're simply out of luck, probably given the politics of the situation. McCarthy is currently GOP leader. That means he's been Boehner's second in command for some months now. He's the most likely compromise candidate between the more establishment Republicans and, say, the House Freedom Caucus, the more right-leaning. And you don't have that many House Freedom-style conservative options. Jim Jordan has said he doesn't want it. Paul Ryan has said he doesn't want it, and he's viewed suspiciously by certain House conservatives. Trey Gowdy certainly doesn't want it. I mean, who are you going to put up, Louie Gohmert? I mean, there really aren't any options if you want sort of a Boehner antithesis. So I think that either this is a moment when House conservatives, the people who've been really genuinely frustrated with Boehner for a long time, either have to sort of put up or shut up, unfortunately, and we'll see where all of this leads. Those are all long-winded preliminary thoughts, but it is an interesting situation.
Well,
sure.
The story's still unfolding, and we should point out that we're recording before Boehner makes any public comment on this. But some of the biggest frustrations in talking to Mark Meadows when he brought forth the resolution before the recess is not only Boehner's unwillingness to fight on a number of critical issues, but also the penchant for punishing him among them, members for voting against rules, setting the stage for various debates, stripping people of committee positions if they didn't go with what the leadership wanted to do enough. And it just set a very awkward tone. The fact that the House Freedom Caucus exists is due to the fact that people were frustrated with John Boehner over time. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
We'll see if much changes. But we'll, I guess, get a lot more details as time goes on. But it's worth noting that at the Voter Value Summit hosted by the Family Research Council, apparently Marco Rubio broke the news to the crowd that this resignation had been announced, and standing ovation. So there's definitely definitely some demand for a change at the top there. But again, whoever's there will definitely have a challenge on their hands. So on to the bad martini now, Ian. And yesterday, just literally a couple of hours after Pope Francis addressed the House, and while he admittedly devoted about one line to the issue of life, it was pretty clear that when he said that every life ought to be protected through every stage of development, the United States Senate voted 52-47 against moving forward on an effort to defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year while investigations as to whether they are profiting from the sales of aborted baby parts proceeds. They needed 60 votes to move it forward. They couldn't even get a simple majority. And the main reason for that, 8 Republican senators voted against it. Now, 2 of them are strongly pro-choice, Kirk of Illinois and Collins of Maine. Murkowski of Alaska is kind of in that category as well. But others were not that way at all. Strong pro-life, in fact. Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Kelly Ayotte, New Hampshire, Rand Paul of Kentucky, Dean Heller of Nevada, Ben Sass of Nebraska. Various reasons, mostly because they just didn't like the rest of the continuing resolution. They either wanted cuts in spending, like Rand Paul. They wanted to lift the military caps on sequestration. That's where Tom Cotton was coming in. And then you have folks like Kelly Ayotte and Dean Heller, who under no circumstances want to head down the road to what they think would be a government shutdown. And it's understandable that they have those frustrations, but knowing that this bill is going to get vetoed anyway, to not advance that, or at least try to advance that to the president's desk to make a larger statement about that issue.
Of course, Cotton and Sass and some of these, you know, who we would consider really conservative senators, are strongly pro-life. Ben Sass is the lead sponsor of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which is currently waiting to be rejected by the rest of the Senate. So, you know, I don't take that these people are pro-life squishes, other than, you know, Kirk and Collins, obviously.
Right.
But that point is well taken, Greg. This is a bill that is largely symbolic, and I struggle to see the rationale that comes from rejecting it sort of out of hand at this preliminary stage.
All right. On to the crazy martini now. And this is a story that's been percolating over the last, well, a few days here, because Marco Rubio was holding a fundraiser at the home of real estate mogul Harlan Crow in a Dallas suburb on Tuesday night, which happened to be on the eve of Yom Kippur. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, decided that this was really in poor taste because the host, Harlan Crow, has a lot of historical memorabilia in his home, some of which relates to the Third Reich, including a signed copy of Mein Kampf and even a little bit of artwork that Adolf Hitler himself painted. Her statement is, holding an event in a house featuring the artwork and signed autobiography of a man who dedicated his life to extinguishing the Jewish people is the height of insensitivity and indifference. There's really no excuse for such a gross act of disrespect. Mr. Rubio, who, by the way, represents a sizable Jewish population in our home state of Florida, should cancel his tasteless fundraiser. It is astounding that the presence of these items that represent horror for millions of Jews the world over would not stop Mr. Rubio or anyone on his team in their tracks when planning this event. And the quick response, of course, from Republicans is a lot of nerve coming from a woman who just supported the Iran deal.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the most ridiculous, unself-conscious complaint from the DNC imaginable. I mean, what do you even say to something like this? This person has artwork, cultural artifacts in their home. Therefore, you know, all of it goes back to the astounding chutzpah, to use a term that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has displayed throughout both her time in Congress and her time as head of the DNC. I mean, this is the same woman who said that Scott Walker was literally yanking women by the hair, some nonsense like this. I mean, this is a woman who is absolutely off her rhetorical rocker when it comes to finding nonsensical objections to Republican candidates. The Rubio campaign has, of course, been very smooth in responding to this, and they certainly should. This is the type of small ball, petty absurdity that the Democrats traffic in, that Republicans need to be very firm in rejecting. It's all sort of bound up with the juvenile mentality of speech zones on campus and all of these things, to tie this into the sort of larger trends that you see on the left of an overzealous policing. Debbie Wasserman Schultz just happens to be perhaps the most inept at doing that and making the DNC look foolish. But if she wants to keep doing that, that's perfectly fine with me.
I think it's just her personality. She can't help herself, and she finds ways to dive in with ridiculous language almost as much as she possibly can. Or do you think there's a growing concern about the threat of Marco Rubio in this election?
Oh, I think that's definitely true. And you see it actually on the right as well. Trump has turned his attacks to Rubio. He sees him rising. I think Democrats are very concerned. I mean, just the aesthetics of it. If Hillary is your nominee, you have this cold, robotic, three-decade national figure who not even Democrats are particularly excited about, versus the sort of young Cuban son of immigrants, lovely family. The aesthetics of it are terrible. I think they're very worried. Of course, the other half of this is while Debbie Wasserman Schultz has a penchant for saying just totally nonsense things, this is the type of stuff that riles up the Media Matters types, Air America donors, you know, the Soros types of folks who give to the Democratic National Committee, so she can say these sort of things, and you know, they give her huzzah and a nice check. So maybe this is, you know, a worthwhile political strategy. I don't know, but if you're a sensitive voter, you have to think that this is a pretty far-fetched accusation.
Ian, sorry we had such little news for you at the end of the week here when you're subbing in for
yeah.
Jim. Typical low news Friday.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe Boehner was hoping to take advantage of the papal news dump.
Yeah.
But I think he miscalculated on that.
You said on Wednesday, watch for all the other papal news dumps. We're getting them. So, Ian, thanks again for filling in for Jim. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You too, Greg.
Ian Tuttle of National Review and for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Have a great weekend, everyone, and please join Jim and me on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.